the OTB Podcast Network.
The other thing that's caught our attention over the last couple of days, Will, is the Railway Cup. Now, that may surprise a few people, but Franny Ford, legend of Galway, was on Twitter saying, with the split season now given the go-ahead, is there an opportunity for artificial GEA to rekindle the Railway Cup? He says, tick, room on calendar, October bank holiday. Tick, players whose clubs have been eliminated. Tick, player buy-in. And his final tick is experiment, rules, squads, rolling subs, etc. Got a bit of traction on social media. Kieran Donaghy said he liked it. The Railway Cup weekend with our best on show, he said. Triple headers Thursday and Friday, men and women, kids in free. And the four finals on the Sunday at 12, 2, 4 and 6. Throw in the All-Star Awards, men and women, on the Sunday night. Pint emoji, music emoji, pint emoji, hashtag bring back the Railway Cups. Not going to lie, Will, I'm excited by this prospect.
That's a lot of emojis being used by Kieran Donaghy on Franny Ford's tweet, all right? I think Franny's idea is a very solid one. Like, I think this is a really good idea. One of the great traditions within Gaelic games, really going back to, you know, the great players particularly that you would have heard about in the 50s, 60s and 70s, they talk about how important the Railway Cup was, particularly for players who were outside of the elite few counties who were winning All-Ireland championships. You heard about how great they were when they were playing with their provincial teammates in the Railway Cup and how a player should showed that they were at a different level when they were able to play in the Railway. And like, I know from talking to older players, they talk about how prized a possession a Railway Cup is. And unfortunately, in the last two decades or so, it was allowed to pretty much fall into obscurity because, exactly as Franny says, there was no place in the calendar. There was a feeling that there was already enough games happening. The intercounty season was getting bigger and bigger in terms of publicity. And therefore, the Railway Cup fell right down the priority list for the GAA. But now, with the split season, which we talked about earlier on the show, and if intercounty players are going to be finished in their entirety by the end of July, they go back to their clubs. In all reality, the club championships are going to start in July in some counties and early August for most. They should have nearly every club player completed, with the exception of those who are getting ready for the All-Ireland Club Championship by the end of October. It seems a perfect fit. Croke Park seems a perfect venue for it. And I would imagine, Owen, I don't know about you, I would definitely have an interest in watching the interprovincial semi-finals and finals if they were publicised correctly and shown on TV on that weekend.
Listen, Will, I am the number one person to Croke Park that weekend. I watch the international rules religiously because I love the fact that you have this amalgamation happening. And I am prone to, I guess, liking the idea of amalgamations no matter where they exist. And this is obviously not going to go down well with a whole pile of people. But when Pat Gilroy was sitting in the Sunday game studio before Christmas and he mentioned the idea of amalgamation, of course, the way he worded it wasn't great, saying Cavan people and Monaghan people weren't like each other. But the idea of amalgamations isn't the worst idea in the world. Like, of course, if it's done on a less serious level like the Railway Cup, I think it'll be perfect. But I do think it'll be interesting to see if in the Railway Cup you put Dublin on their own and you put Leinster, the rest of Leinster, as one province, who would actually win that game is something I'd be interested in. I'd be interested in, would that one game be more competitive than anything we have seen in the Leinster Championship over the last 10 years? I think the answer to that question is obviously yes. As long as everybody's taking it seriously, that game will be more competitive. And will that one Leinster versus Dublin game give you more joy from a neutral competitive standpoint than Dublin against anybody in the Leinster Championship over recent years? It actually might. So your point about the fact that the Intercounty Championship running away with itself and away from the Railway Cup is correct. But now the Intercounty Championship, especially on the football side, has shown a few weaknesses in recent years, that there is an opportunity for the Railway Cup to come back into our lives and say, hey, look at me, amalgamations, we're not so bad.
Yeah, look, I think if Dublin were hypothetically to play the rest of Leinster, I think Dublin would win, because quite aside from the fact that Dublin have got most of the best players in the country available on their team, they also train and play as a team. So I would imagine even the best of Leinster coming together for a one-off weekend would probably struggle to beat them. But it'd be an interesting experiment in and of itself. What I think would be perhaps even more interesting, though, is when you have a representative side and when players from some of the smaller counties around the country where they've got maybe, you know, two or three marquee players on a team, like I'm thinking the likes of, say, John Heslin from Westmeath, playing inside a forward line, which is probably going to have two or three dubs in it, you'll get an appreciation for just how good John Heslin is if he's linking up with Dean Rock and linking up with Kieran Kilkenny as part of a team where Leinster are playing against an absolutely stacked Ulster defence. Like, I just think representative sides are really interesting. And on Franny's, I think it was his fourth point of five on the tweet, player buy-in is all important in this. And even when the Railway Cup didn't have a massive amount of marketing behind it, say 5 or 6 years ago when it was dying off, players were still mad keen to go and play in the interprovincials, and it was still seen as a massive honour to represent your province in these games. So I think the player buy-in is a huge point in this as well. And I cannot be any more behind the idea of the Railway Cup being revived. I think this is a really, really good idea.
What else should we be doing with this massive opportunity that the GAA might actually create for itself next year? The fact that from July 2022, there is going to be, hopefully, plenty of time for club championships to run off. There might actually be an off-season. What else can we expect from this? If you were Ard Shurahore this morning, Will, what would you be looking at if you had to put your innovative cap on?
Yeah, look, I think a defined off-season is really important. Like, I've thought about this for a while. Like, you and I watch quite a few sports on, and one of the things that I actually really like about American sports, and particularly when it comes to the NFL, I bemoan when Super Bowl Sunday finishes and it's like, I'm going to have to wait until the start of the autumn for games to come back. But still having that break actually allows for the appetite to build a bit for the next season. I think one of the problems that GAA had was that intercounty started to become a 12-month campaign, especially when those preseason competitions started to go back into early December and the first week of November. Like, it almost felt like the All-Ireland finals were just over. Next thing, you had the televised draws for the championship for the next year, and then preseason competitions were back. So it became a little bit of a monster, and I have to admit, the drawn-out nature of it took my attention away from it somewhat. I'm actually somewhat looking forward to when we get to next year and we reach week 28 or week 29 of the season, depending on how the first week of January falls, that we actually have a little bit of a break from intercounty until we get around to January of the next year. And we get a bit of a break and a chance for some of the players who don't go deep into the championship with their club to actually get a rest, go for a holiday, rest up some of those dinks that they pick up along the way and injuries that need to be healed. And then they can come back into, you know, a league and championship, which are compressed into a shorter period of time, which allows teams to have a little bit of form too. Like, one of the real difficulties in recent years, Owen, was when you had a team who went well in the league, and then they had effectively a month which finished after that. Then there's an intense preseason to get ready for provincial championships. And then you're trying to hit some kind of peak form when you get to the knockout stages of the All-Ireland Championship. Like, it's almost impossible to keep a team in any kind of form for such a long period of time. While it may be possible with games running a bit closer into each other for a team to actually go on a run. And even we saw some of the teams last year, you know, I'm thinking Cavan, who went on a run of results and were able to win week on week and built that little bit of kind of team spirit and a bit of a run behind them when they were coming into the Ulster final. In a year where maybe the Ulster Championship would have been more spread out, it would have been a case of them having to peak over a month and a half as opposed to successive weeks. So I'm kind of hoping that having that condensed season might actually make the championship in the league even more interesting than it is. I think there's not a whole lot wrong with the club championships, really. Things will probably equalise themselves in terms of Cora Finn being the absolute standout team in the All-Ireland Club Football Championship. Ballyhale Shamrocks are starting to age when it comes to the hurling championship, and there's still plenty of strong hurling teams around that could take them out. And then, like, everyone is going to have their interest in their local club championship. You're probably not going to sell that beyond the boundaries of an individual county. But when you looked at last year, where there was so many club games that were being televised, when you've got TG Carr showing a remarkable amount of finals and games in the provincial championships as well, I think there's a huge sell possible on the club championships. I know they're not for everyone. There's plenty of GAA fans who enjoy their intercounty season, and once their own club are eliminated, they don't really care beyond that. But for most people who've got a fairly deep interest in the GAA, I think actually having, you know, a long period of time where you can market the club championships and some of the great games and, you know, some of the players on the way up and on the way down who star within those championships, I think there's a great appetite to actually watch club games. And not just because we were almost forced to watch them last year at the tail end of the first run of COVID in the summer. I think a lot of people genuinely sat down and watched a lot of games last year. I think there's a great product to be had in the club as well.
Very small point on that is that once you have the club games after the intercounty season, I think there will be a greater interest in some of those club games. So if you throw on TG Cahir on a Friday night and you're like, oh, there's a load of the Limerick lads who just won the All-Ireland playing against each other in this Limerick club game, you might grab a few more viewers. I know it's only a small point, but that might be one of the reasons why it's better to have it after than beforehand. Now, the flip side of that is I really liked last year in that you had almost this sort of club soccer situation where players could play themselves into the county team by playing well in their club championship, because it was so soon afterwards and it was all happening so publicly and there was a great kind of buzz around that. So I can see it working either way. But I think really it is great that there is going to be a defined split here. Like, I know that there needs to be a lot of ironing out for what the exact details are. But as you pointed out there, like the club month of April, for example, what a waste of time that was. Like, it was just neither here nor there when it came to what you actually want to do with this. Is this going to be a club-only month? Is there going to be preparation for the club before the April month? And if not, is there going to be preparation for the county team within the month of April if they're starting already in May? And it was just a mess. Actually, just having two completely separate entities is better than that. The question I would have, Will, and I'm not sure if you've got any thoughts on this, is what happens to the club player before the middle of July, start of August? Like, are you concerned about that at all?
Little bit, yeah. I mean, on the one hand, I think it's great that the GAA is no longer competing with its own products. Like, that was one of the overlap issues that there were in both April and also when you came to late August and early September, where club championships started to move into the business end of their championships and they were defined around even their fixture scheduling, because they didn't want to go up against the big game that was on the TV in the inter-county championship. Like, I take your point entirely in terms of kind of trying to find that balance, and particularly trying to find that balance, as you say, for players trying to impress their county managers. You would hope that the fact that there's a long period of time now where the club has played out and is often to its own end, that will actually make it easier for county managers to see their players when they're in a bit of form and then bring them into a pre-season to get them ready for the inter-county championship afterwards. But I'll admit, look, people have probably read Martin Brenny's comments today as well. And like, I can totally understand where he's coming from. That it feels like the GAA, in doing this, are actually giving away a little bit of the vital end of their calendar, in that the GAA, we spoke about tradition earlier, always had September mapped off for the All-Ireland Championships. That's when people were used to sitting down to watch them. It's almost like the Masters being the end of spring and into summer. You associate things with certain times of the year, and that's where the All-Ireland Finals were. It's going to take a certain amount of adjustments to them being in July, when they may well have to compete on with the likes of the Olympics, the likes of the European Championships, World Cups. It's going to be a fight maybe for people's attention. I think for the greater good, it's better to have a split season, but I totally understand that they're giving away a certain amount of sporting real estate by condensing the season in the way that they have.
John Duggan, you're with us to chip in on this. How are you getting on?
Owen and Will, how are things?
Yeah, good, thanks. Just to remind people at home what the headline is from Martin Brenny this morning. A split season solution will ultimately harm the GAA. Congress consensus worrying, as there were other solutions to fixtures crux. What do you make of all of this, John?
Yeah, well, I'll just read out some of the quotes from Martin Brenny here. Fixing the problem without bringing the All-Ireland Finals forward to July would have involved a number of changes, including cutting the amount of inter-county training, allowing players to play with their clubs when not with the county team, reducing the power of team managers and adjusting the All-Ireland format. In fact, Congress took the easy way out with the decision that will ultimately damage the GAA. It's hardly surprising, since it's the same Congress which passed a motion on cynical play that it rejected by a 4-1 majority earlier this year. Martin Brenny's argument, and he's made this quite a lot of times in the past few years, and I agree with him on this, is that the GAA has a promotional value in having these All-Ireland Finals in September and having a degree of a spread of an inter-county season throughout the year. He understands and he accepts that the club players needed that voice at the table with the CPA. They needed to sort out the fixtures. The pandemic is what sorted the fixtures, and it's almost like the mist has cleared and now we have suddenly have this inter-county season until July, and then we have the club season. Having spoken to many players on Saturday panels over the last year, the players wanted this. So the amateur players, they wanted the certainty. They wanted to play for their club at a certain specific time of the year. So we have to think about them in the first instance. The only concern, and I think Will has touched upon it there, I would have as a GAA fan massively, is that the GAA will cede mass appeal from the terms of public interest for 5 months of the year. Because the club finals, as much as the club is the foundation and the bedrock and the lifeblood of the association, and you wouldn't have a GAA without the club finals do not have mass appeal. 17,819 attended the club finals in 2019. The record in 1999 was just over 40,000. We all talk about Dublin and Kerry, that you'd fill Croke Park twice over. Now, maybe that is only for finals, but I do think that it is a little bit of a caveat. It is a little bit of a worry for me that the GAA could be a little bit out of sight and out of mind, and ceding that promotional a ground to soccer and rugby for 5 months of the year. That's the only concern. Now, maybe this will allow organisations like ourselves and other organisations to ramp up our coverage and to deal with these clubs in a way that is not just giving the results, but also telling the stories of the people involved in the clubs, the characters, and actually showcasing the sport in a way that doesn't have any interruptions, and therefore people that then might find, you know, this catches on. Things can go through trends. The All-Ireland Championships were not as popular in the 70s and 80s as they are now. Remember, what was the biggest thing back then? It was the Railway Cup or the Oireachtas Tournament. Like, remember my dad even talking about Wexford losing to Clare in the 1950s in the Oireachtas, and it was a massive thing. These tournaments are now obsolete. So maybe we'll see a sea change and that the club will gain a popular support because it's the only thing there. But I'm just a little bit worried, given the history of it, that the club finals on the national holiday have not drawn mass appeal.
The question is how early they want to bring it back, the intercounty game at the start of any given year. Like, maybe there will be a case that from the 1st of January you have top-class intercounty action, in which case you'll be going from January right the way through until July with almost 6 months of whatever the competition is going to be. You're obviously going to be giving up a full 6 months thereafter, or maybe 5.5 months really, because it's middle of July where it finishes. And at the moment, or if you go back a couple of years at least, there was no intercounty action in October, November, December, and for the vast majority of January, you might have a league game on the last weekend of January. So there was 4 months already empty there. That I wonder actually if it's going to be that much of a difference at all, because of course the September thing is sacrosanct in the view of many, John, but I'm not sure if the fact that September was actually this wide open window for GAA to promote itself. Like, it was going up against the early throes of the Premier League season, the early throes of the rugby season. I think in the middle of the summer, every second year at least, it'll have the stage to itself. And I think that can be a positive. I think that as well, if there's going to be more games early in the calendar, then you're going up against the latter stages of the Premier League season where a season might have petered out or whatever. And what last year actually taught me, John, was that when we had all these sports coming back at once, the Premier League, the Champions Cup Rugby, the GAA, the Intercounty GAA was still winning out. So I accept your point that Club GAA perhaps doesn't have the same national appeal, but they can really make hay with a condensed and good format at intercounty level.
Yeah, but I think they need to do that by changing the way the competitions are run. So I don't like these preliminary competitions. I think they're a waste of time. I do think you need to flip the league and the championship and have a league championship and have the Dubs going to Killarney in June or whatever month it is. And you run your provinces in, say, February, March or April, and then you have a league championship with four tiers. It's probably a different argument now I'm trying to make here, with four meaningful trophies to be won, and have an absolute extravaganza from May, June and July. I suppose it just has to be done right. I wouldn't want it to get to a situation where the championship only kind of creeps up on us and then it's over by July. Do you get me? And then we have now 5 months of what are we doing here? That's the only worry I would have. That the games, I felt at times, the games were too much spread out before, and I almost feel in recent times they've been too squeezed. Now, I know that COVID was the reason for that, but like there were so many stories on certain weekends last year that just got lost. You know, if you have a couple of provincial finals on a certain, like one big game a week is probably enough. And I just hope that they get the calendar and the fixtures right, that they have it spaced out, but also that every single week you're looking forward to something, and then there's a story out of something every week, but not three massive games on one weekend where you're losing the stories that people can talk about at the water cooler for days on end.
I think, lads, there's probably a balance to be found here on this, whereby I totally understand Martin and John's point in terms of giving up months of potential promotion. But I think most people are probably fans of multi-sports anyway, so their attention can be spread across various different things. And I think even if you go off and watch something else in August, September, October, compared to Intercounty where you would have watched before, you're still going to come back to watch the GAA the next season. Like, ultimately, I don't see that as a trade-off compared to having a games program which will help out 90% of the players across the country, and it's not focused just on intercounty. And also, given that club can now start with a certainty in every county in August of the year, it means, and I think a lot of players enjoyed this last year, it was a chance to concentrate entirely on their club and actually to get to play some games with, you know, solid pitches around the country at a good time of the year. I think for the GAA as an organisation, they have to be able to provide a games program, which I think is more important if we're looking at which side the balance tips on than actually playing, say, 5 to 6 fixtures in August and September. I'm not sure if they really lose that much by coming back by a month and a bit.
Yeah, I'd tend to agree with that as well. But then, John, as you say, the structure, and if there's going to be a revamp of the structure, that is just so vital. That has to just be nailed next year, because there is still parts of the intercounty calendar when there has been no club on that have been wasted in the past. So there's a real opportunity to make the most of this. But as you both pointed to, it's going to be next year really before we get any light on this and how exactly the split season is going to look.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.